The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, on Tuesday, a home near the city of Deir al-Balah, the administrative capital of Gaza, was bombed by the IDF. Inside, 4-day-old twins, Asser and Aysel. Their father, Mohammed, was out collecting their birth certificates. He returned to find his children, their mother and their grandmother, all dead, hit by an Israeli airstrike. Mohammed then had to return to the government's registry office, this time to collect his newborn's death certificates. Now, those deaths are just four of the 40,000 people who've now been confirmed dead in Gaza. Fikr Shaltut is the Gaza Director for Medical Aid for Palestinians. It's a charity partner of TROCRA, and she joins me now from Egypt. Fikr, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you describe the current situation in Gaza as we hear reports that the official death toll is now more than 40,000?
Yeah, actually, the humanitarian situation is still quite devastating. I mean, as you said, the death toll is now 40,000 people. We are talking about, 40,000 of children, women, young people, elderly. People being killed from different age group due to the indiscriminate bombardments that is still happening on a daily basis and claim the lives of the people. Unfortunately, on the top of that, we are talking about 1.7 million of the whole population in Gaza are still displaced, moving from one place to another, stuck in shelters and in tents and living in quite harsh circumstances with very poor access to clean water for drinking and water for domestic use, limited access to food items, lack of, fresh food, including vegetables and fruit. For example, currently there is no hygienic materials allowed into Gaza for the last couple of months, and most of the population, according to the records from the Minister of Health and other UN organizations, they were talking about more than 1 million cases of registered of different sources, different sort of communicable diseases, including hepatitis, skin diseases, different sort of diarrhea, respiratory tract infections, etc. And these people, they don't have basically access to any hygienic materials to clean themselves, to wash their clothes, their clothing, and also to clean the place where they are staying. And unfortunately, the whole population in Gaza, and I've been talking to my colleagues and to my family in the middle area, and everyone is just uncertain about what's going to happen to them in the future. I hear this a lot from them, that we are waiting our turn. We might be the next victim. We might be killed in another bombardment here or there. So this worry about the future, what's going to happen to them. And with this, whole situation, when the children, they don't have access to schools, and the young people, they cannot go to their universities, and they don't know. Actually, most of these education facilities been destroyed. Talking about health facilities, and more than 89% of this being destroyed or damaged. And that a few of the health facilities is still operating. So this mean, again, I mean that most of the wounded people and the elderly people and the chronic patients, they will have no proper access to the treatment they need. And they may die actually because of the lack of the essential supplies.
How many crossings are open? How many trucks per day are getting through?
Actually, since the closure of Rafah crossing on the 6th of May, the Israeli military allow the operating of Kerem Shalom. However, the number of trucks being allowed through that crossing according to some of the UN reports, they were talking about like 30-ish or 30-plus, the number of trucks allowed. However, on a daily basis. However, I mean, these trucks, mostly they are stuck inside the crossing because the recipient of these trucks, I mean, talking about the UN organizations mainly organize or coordinate for this to be delivered into Gaza, talking about the logistical cluster, they are lacking all the support needed in order to secure the trucks to arrive safely into Gaza. So, which means that the number of trucks allowed daily is even less than this 36 trucks I mentioned, because basically they cannot get these items, you know, these trucks into Gaza. From the north side, actually, there is like one point, they call it West of Erez or Zakim point. Occasionally, they allow trucks to come in from that point through what they call a Jordanian corridor. But in total, I mean, the number of trucks allowed are quite limited every day, and it's far low than what used to be allowed when Rafah crossing was open before 6 May. And even when Rafah crossing was open before 6 May, the number of trucks used to be allowed was less than 200 trucks per day, in comparing with the before October, when the number of trucks used to be allowed on a daily basis into Gaza, about 500 to 600 trucks per day.
I figure, so, is there any food production still possible within Gaza itself?
Unfortunately, no. Basically, and yesterday it was only yesterday when I read the report actually about the agricultural land, for example, and they were talking only about 2% of the agricultural land that still people still can access and cultivate. Other than that, no, people cannot access, or it was destroyed or bombed by the Israeli military. So basically, I've been in touch with my colleague in the north of Gaza, and they've been suffering of lack of fresh food for the last more than 10 weeks now, honestly. And he told me that there are only two fresh food items in the north that they've been planted in there, talking about ecogene, and there is something, it's like kind of the green leaves, we call it mlochia. So these are the only two things that, you know, being produced in Gaza. I mean, there is no shops, no factories, nothing can be produced under the current circumstances in Gaza. So all the 2.2 million people in Gaza, they are relying on the aids that are coming from this crossing, and they are relying on the international organization and the UN organizations to bring the food items and the essential supplies, including the medical supplies, into the hospitals.
Now, there was hope in the past, in the recent months, of some sort of a ceasefire. Once again, they're talking about a ceasefire. Should that ceasefire happen, how long would it take for any kind of normality to return to Gaza?
Honestly, with the level of the destruction happened in Gaza, it's anticipated, you know, to get things, you know, kind of normal or something kind of look like what life has been before October. I assume, you know, it's gonna take ages. Honestly, we're talking about years and years. Talking about like 70% of the households being destructed. So this means that most of the population will remain displaced. The water networks, the internet, the communication, the sewage networks, schools, universities, health facilities, all of this gonna need repairs. I mean, main streets, shops, mosques, churches. I mean, you are talking almost about everything, all banking systems, the banks in Gaza. So, I mean, we're talking about absolutely everything. So it's going to need really long time until, sort of normal life can be sustained in Gaza. But at least if there is a ceasefire tomorrow, at least we hope, you know, this is, will be also accompanied by, you know, opening the crossing, allowing free movement of the emergency medical teams and to come into Gaza so they can work in the hospitals and treat patients, allow medical supplies to come in, allow more food items and hygienic materials and all other supplies. You know, people are desperate, they are in need. And also, yani, mainly there are need for, you know, essential supplies that is needed, you know, to fix, you know, the water networks, the sewage networks, and also the communication within Gaza. At least, you know, to make the life sort of possible for the people.
Watching what has been happening with the Israelis and the bombings of even schools and hospitals, do people believe in Gaza that the Israelis are trying to make Gaza a place where nobody really can live?
Yes. Yeah, people, they believe in, oh, this is what the Israelis are aiming for. Most of the people in Gaza, they think, and know, you know, if there is a ceasefire tomorrow, you know, life become kind of impossible. Those who have children, they will be worried about their children. Where are they going to study tomorrow? Where are they going to, which universities they will, you know, go to? How the, you know, if someone got sick, which health facilities they will be able to access? So yes, people, they think, you know, the life will become impossible. And what the Israelis has been doing is kind of systematic destruction of the whole systems within Gaza to make the life impossible and to, in order to push people or force them to leave Gaza.
Do you believe that many people will leave?
Again, this is a very difficult question. Some people, I guess, they will leave, but mostly, most of the population, they won't leave, basically, because, yeah, in Gaza, it's their home, you know, it's the home for the Palestinians. You know, they've been through difficult times before. Gaza has been, and the population in Gaza, they've been through difficult assaults over the last 15 years, lived under blockade for very long. Many of them, I believe, you know, many of them, they will, you know, sustain the hope, and they will think, you know, that they're gonna rebuild it again, and they will, and because it's the home, so they think, you know, it deserve, you know, that, you know, they have to fight and to stay in there and not to go to any place, you know. Yeah. Most of the population, we have to consider also that, you know, most of the population are quite poor, and they cannot afford even going out of the country, start a new life, and, you know, have to pay for living and for food, and, you know, again, going for something, you know, they are not certain what's going to happen to them, even if they are moving out of Gaza.
Finally, we know that many people have been killed and many people have been maimed for life with amputations and other very serious injuries. But the aspect of this, which is probably not quantifiable at this stage, is the psychological damage, the mental health effects of the last 10 months.
Yeah. Well, honestly, as you mentioned, according to some reports, actually the people who perhaps become disabled, we're talking about like 10,000 people, and this is, yani, not accurate figure. Perhaps it's more, given the you know, the type of injuries we've been seeing inside hospitals and the number of people, you know, had to, you know, lose limbs. Upper or lower limbs, etc., and also those with, you know, severe head and back injuries, so they have to live in disability for very long. But I mean, the mental health impact on the whole population, not only for those who lost people, but for all the population who had to live in this horror for like more than 10 months so far, they have to live in this indiscriminate bombardment that happened everywhere and anywhere, recognizing that there is no safe place inside Gaza, and that, you know, the person himself or the woman herself or their children, they may die either in, if they are in their home or outside, or if they are in a shop or in a shelter. There is, you know, so people do recognize that, and they, this is make it really difficult for them living this, seeing the very harsh scene of the, you know, people and the remains, you know, being people killed and the remains of the children and women. And, you know, seeing this happening on a daily basis, people are stuck under rubble and people cannot reach to them. Ambulances or civil defense are not allowed to do this job. So everyone recognizes, you know, this is, could be happening to him or, you know, to the person himself or herself and or to their children. So how do you imagine, you know, the mental health for these people living this and having to think about this happening to them on a daily basis?
Fikr Shaltut, Gaza Director for Medical Aid for Palestinians, a partner organization with Trokra. Fikr, thank you very much for joining us from Egypt.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.